Matthew chapter 7, from verse 7 to 11. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Praise the name of the Lord. We have looked at who our Heavenly Father is thus far. I think we looked at that 2 weeks ago. We've seen that he is loving, he is kind. We've seen that he's our progenitor, our provider, our protector. We've seen that he delights to give us good things. In fact, he said that he is pleased to give us the kingdom. He owns what he wants to give to us. So it's not as if he's going to go and beg somebody for it for us. It belongs to him. His nature is one of giving. He's a giver by nature. And he delights to give to his children. We saw last week that the things that God gives us are good. They are not bad. They are not evil. They are not harmful. They are not unbeneficial. They are not detrimental to us. As a matter of fact, we said that God says he will give. Not that he may. Not that perhaps he will. Not that he could. But he will surely give. It's important that we know these things. Because you see, when you go, for example, you go to court to argue a case, the only thing the judge is interested in is, what does the law say? He's not interested in your eloquence. Is what does the eloquence can come when you have presented what the law says. Otherwise, your eloquence doesn't mean anything to the judge. So we must understand the basis on which we are going to ask God today. That God desires to give. He's a giver by, it is his nature. He has said in his word that he delights to give us the kingdom. He delights to give us everything that belongs to him. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and everything that there is in. So there's nothing that God cannot give to us. Even the devil was created by God. So God can put the devil in subjection on our behalf. But you will notice one thing in that scripture in Matthew chapter 7 verse 11. He says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to us all? Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say? To those who
ask.
To those who
ask.
There are good things that are given to all. But there are some good things that are given only to those who ask him. For example, the Bible says, God causes the rain to fall on top of the farm of the good man and of the bad man. Even the bad man who doesn't ask, rain will fall. There are good things for us. But there are some good things that will come only to those who ask. Praise the name of the Lord. In John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 37 through to 36, through to 39. John 7 from 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and what? Drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What is the promise of the Holy Spirit there? Who gets the Holy Spirit in that from that scripture? Those that believe. Now look at Luke chapter 11 verse 13. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If you then, this is a repetition of Matthew 7:11, Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? There is a difference. We receive the Holy Spirit once we are born again. The moment you are born again, the Spirit of God comes into you. There's no question about that. That one is contingent upon your receiving salvation. But there is a coming upon of the Spirit of God in power to do what God wants us to do. That comes as a result of asking. But for you to receive the Holy Spirit in you, because except the Spirit of God is in you, you are not born again. So that initial gift of the Holy Spirit, you don't ask for it. It's a work of grace. It is given. But thereafter, for example, you have been called to ministry and you need the Holy Spirit. It is prayer. asking for the Spirit, gift of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus told the disciples before he left, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Many Bible scholars, myself inclusive, we believe that that was when the disciples actually got born again. Because you must receive the Holy Spirit to be born again. They were not born again when the Lord Jesus was with them. It wasn't necessary he was there. But after, and nobody could get born again anyway because he hadn't died. But after his death and he arose and he came to them and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," they became born again. Now he now told them, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And you notice that when they were waiting, they were not waiting casually. They were studying the word of God and they were praying. And finally, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place, they were one accord in their hearts. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came. So there are the good things that we ask for. There are the good things that are given naturally. James chapter 4. What we want to do essentially today is to pray. To motivate you to see prayer as a necessity. In other words, without prayer, you really need to begin to question your Christianity. James chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to read the C part. Let me read from verse 1, but where we're going to is the C part of verse 2. James 4 from verse 1 and 2. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Where do we find ourselves getting involved in quarrels, in arguments? Why are Christians quarrelsome? Why are Christians contentious? Why do we have these camps that we are building? Is it not carnality? Is it not the pleasures that we want, the desires in us that have not been removed, that's at war within us and among us? Verse 2. You lost. What's another word for lost? Crave. What's another word for crave or for that same lust? Well, not selfish. You desire strongly. You lust is a strong desire. You crave. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. This is the state of many of us. We have desires, we have longings, strong desires, cravings that are not being met. Sometimes when these desires are not met and we see somebody else manifesting those things that we desire, what happens to us? We get envious. We begin to look at them with disdain and say, what is it said that they have? But verse 2c says, yet, this is the answer, yet you do not have because you do not ask. When we find that we don't have something, and that we are desirous of that thing, the very first thing we want to do is find out, have we asked? It's not as simple as it sounds. Because a lot of times we believe that our desire automatically translates to asking. How many of us know what I'm talking about? You know, when you first got born again, you didn't pray for anything really. Even when you were thinking, you got it. So some of us grew with that and believe that all we need to do is think and we will get. But you see, when you are a child, before you even say you are hungry, your mother has put your mouth to the breast. Once you just do one small shake, your mother has put your mouth to the breast. But a time will come as you mature where they will ask you first, are you hungry? Nobody's going to go and start cooking food and keep. Then you now come back and say, I'm not hungry. Do you understand? As you mature, you need to ask to receive. And many of us believe that just by thinking, we get. And that is what the Bible is trying to put down today. That you don't get just by thinking. Now, some of us believe that if they want something, they should go to the pastor and ask. And I'm going to tell you something here this morning. Nobody, because all the pastor is going to do is to pray for you. Is that not so? What is the pastor doing there? He's asking God on your behalf. Nobody can ask for something like you can ask for what you want. Do you understand? It is the man that's wearing the shoe that knows where it is pinching. If you come to a pastor and say, "Pastor, this shoe is pinching me." He doesn't know how he's pinching you. Say, "Father, please remove the pinching." That's all. But you that you have the pinch, you know where you will be able, there's a way you will cry to God and you will be able to deal with the issue. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we want to look at some examples of asking, and then God will help us when we start to pray our own prayer. James chapter 5, 17 to 18. James chapter 5, 17 to 18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I think the old King James says, a man of like passion, with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was a man with the same nature. What does that mean? It means Elijah slept. Elijah ate. Elijah went to the bathroom. What it says is there was nothing spectacular about Elijah. What made the difference in the ministry of Elijah was what?
Prayer.
Earnest prayer. And if you look at the thing that Elijah was asking for, there were things that pertain to the kingdom of God. You don't want to throw an Owambe party and begin to say, Lord, stop the heavens from raining. How can your Owambe party be more important than food for several millions of people? That day that Joshua stood and said the sun should stop and the moon should stand till he got victory. Why did God cause the sun to stop? Because the battle that Joshua was fighting was a kingdom battle. Do you understand? It was a kingdom battle. We have talked about praying the will of God. It was a kingdom battle. And so he could pray a prayer that would make things to stand. Elijah had his own challenges. By the way, I'm sure you know that Elijah did not get married. I'm sure you know that. Which means Elijah had no children. Which means that Elijah was a lonely man at some point in time. He might have had prophets around, sons of prophets around him, but he was just on his own. So he had the same kind of challenges like you and I have. The same kind of nature. The same carnal nature. If you had pinched Elijah's skin, the blood that would come out would be red. Do you understand? His blood will not be blue. His blood will be red. He got angry like any other person got angry. In fact, he used some language at one time. When Ahab said, I've seen, look at my enemy, I've seen him. He said, no. He called him the troubler of Israel. Elijah said, you and your entire family, you are the ones troubling Israel. So he had his own human expressions. But there was a difference between Elijah and every other person. What was it? He prayed earnestly. He prayed how?
Earnestly.
You have to note that. His prayer was not a frivolous prayer. If you go to verse 16, the B part of it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The righteous man prays an effective prayer, and it is what? Fervent. Fervent. Some people will pray, dear God, I just need that thing. Whatever you can do, do. Does that inspire confidence in you? If you come to somebody and say, anything you feel do, make you do. What are you saying? You don't even know if I can do anything. You have no knowledge of what I can do. Your prayer is not effective. Your prayer must be effective. In other words, you must know what God can do. You must know what he cannot do. You must know what he wants to do and what he doesn't want to do. And then you ask. Praise the name of the Lord. If you look at verse 18, he talks first about when he prayed and the rain stopped. And then he prayed again and the heaven released its rain. If you go to 1 Kings, let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. You'll be shocked that that scripture does not capture all the prayers of Elijah. It merely tells us one or two of Elijah's prayers. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, Elijah prayed a prayer that raised a dead boy. Did you know that? The widow that he had gone to stay with had a son. God had graciously provided them with food, so none of them died. Then somehow, the child of that woman died. Let's read from verse 17 of 1 Kings chapter 17. Now it happened after these things, that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord. Have you seen it there? He cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. We see that Elijah's style was always to ask. He didn't presume anything. Some of us would have said, when the woman said, have you come to bring remembrance of my sins? Well, I said, madam, maybe you need to confess those sins. Maybe that's a problem with you. I was counseling a young lady who wanted to get married recently. I said to her, if you don't do things right before you get married, if you just do as you like and you get married, you open the door to all these false prophets to come and tell you the reason why something is not going right in your marriage.
And that's what would have happened here.
If there was one of those false prophets, say, Madam, confess your sin. For the woman to have mentioned that you have brought, are you bringing to remembrance my sins? He said, what's the sin that you committed? That's why this boy has died. But that was not the issue with Elijah. What was the issue with Elijah?
Prayer.
He asked and God granted him. Now let's go to chapter 18, which is the second prayer that he prayed. And the rain came. We know what had happened before, what preceded before. He had made sacrifices, had proven to Israel that God was the true God. Now, in verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. How did Elijah know that there was sound of abundance of rain? God must have told him, right? He said, I'm hearing this sound. The way I'm hearing is about to rain, it's about to rain. So he told Ahab, go up, eat and drink. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. That is not a comfortable position to pray. Have you tried it before? To put your face between your knees and pray. It's not a comfortable position to pray. It's one thing to come and announce, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. It's another thing for that rain to fall. I want you to understand that it is true that God's word is not going to return to him void. That when God gives a promise, that promise will come to pass. But a lot of us must understand that the promises of God are taken in the place of prayer. God giving you a word, giving you a promise, is supposed to be a motivation for you to now ask for that thing. We are not to take it for granted. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, God says that his word is like rain. When he sends it, it goes to accomplish its purpose. It will not return to him until it has accomplished the purpose whereunto it was sent. So when God sends his word, let's assume that you are in a meeting and the word of God comes and says, there's somebody like this here, such and such is going to happen to you. This is what God says. You say, I receive. It doesn't end there. You must now go and pray it. And pray it to come to pass. Pray it until it comes to pass. Pray it until you hear God say, it is done. Thereafter, you continue to thank God until it is done. So Elijah prayed, put his face between his knees and prayed. In verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass, the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. And go down before the rain stops you. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's take it to 45. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. I think we've discussed this before. We are either Ahab or Elijah in the church of God. You are either someone who they give a word of prophecy, and you go and sit down and eat, or you are someone who, when you hear a word of prophecy, you go and pray. The essence of what we are discussing today is that if you are one of those who hears a word, you read a word, maybe you're reading your Bible, and the word enters your heart and you begin to jump with joy, change from just that jumping to joy, but move into the realm of praying that word. Pray until it happens. I'm sure you have heard words like Operation Push. Pray until something happens. You see, the reason why some of those things, I've done it before. We've done it in our churches. We've prayed those things until something happens. But usually, when you are praying in church, nothing is happening. Do you understand? It doesn't stop in church. Because it says pray until something happens. Where do you continue the prayer now? At home. You must pray until that thing happens. In fact, if you look at, you have the NLT. Look at the NLT of Matthew 7, which we have read here. Matthew 7, verse 7. What does it say? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until it comes. Elijah kept praying. Seven times he kept at it. Seven times. He continued to pray. He continued to pray. He continued to pray until the servant came and told him, the weather is changing. That's when he stopped. As long as the weather didn't change, Elijah didn't give up. He continued to pray. We must keep asking until we see the change. You must continue to ask. There must be a passion in you Earnest praying requires passion from within you concerning what you are asking God for. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I'm going to be reading a very lengthy passage here from verse 1 to 17. Acts 12, 1 to 17. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the... Note, I want you to know that verse 5. It appeared nobody prayed when James was apprehended. Maybe they had felt he's a big apostle, God would deliver him. But what happened? He was beheaded. Now they had grabbed Peter. Because the moment Herod saw that he had succeeded with James, he proceeded to grab Peter. There are many things in our lives. The Bible says that the devil is a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Once the devil can touch something in your life, you better know that if you say, take this one, that don't think he will stop. He is coming back. And if you are going to stem the tide of the devil, the approach of the devil, you must be involved in constant prayer. The Bible tells us in verse 5 of Acts 12 that the church prayed constantly, constantly, earnestly, fervently. And there was constancy in that earnestness, in that fervency. Verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him, that is Peter, out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains, between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, that is by Peter, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself, and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, doing what? Praying. Please put a finger, just pause there. The Bible tells us in verse 5 that they were praying constantly. Peter was in prison. Now what were they doing here? They were still praying. They were continuing to pray. In verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Praise the name of the Lord. The church as a group gathered together to pray. It seemed impossible that Peter would be released. When they say he was bound by four squads or quaternion, that's four soldiers on each side. So he had 16 soldiers on him in one cell. Can you get such a person out of that place? You can't. If it were in Nigeria, what are the approaches at our disposal as Christians? You can tell me. Tell me now, what are the approaches? Somebody is locked up in prison, is chained between four soldiers, there are four soldiers, 16 soldiers in the same cell with him. What are possible approaches? No, what are you saying? That's the thing. You just told me. What are the approaches for deliverance? Eh? We make phone calls. One of them is to make phone calls. What other approach do we have? Eh? We begin to, who are the people that we know? Who knows who? Connections. What else? What are the other things that we do? We Christians, what do? In that kind of circumstance. We protest, we plan a protest. But another thing that we usually do is we just give up. It is the will of God. Because we don't see a way out. Can I just tell you something? That faith never sees anything impossible as impossible. Faith never sees impossibility. It cannot. The eye of faith doesn't see an impossibility. The more impossible it seems to the carnal mind, the stronger the eye of faith is to see the release. The reason why Peter, I believe, was led to that house was because had Peter not gone there, what do you think will happen? No? What do you think will happen? They will continue to pray. They would have been praying. That's the point I'm trying to make. They kept on praying until, even when they said the answer had come. I'm sure we know that it seemed like they didn't have faith. But at least they had prayer. And they kept praying until it was done. So Peter had to be taken to them, had to be led there so that Peter can let them know that I'm out of, and they will stop praying. Otherwise, they would have continued to pray. There is no way. I am sure that there were many houses there. But the only house that Peter went to in all of that place was the house where they were praying. The Lord knows where prayer is being prayed. The God is not going to give to somebody who is not praying what he would give to somebody who is praying. Who were the first set of people to know that Peter had been released? The people who were praying. All the other people who were not involved in that vigil, who were doing some other things, they would have heard later from the people who were at the vigil. And they may be doubting. The people who, there is no way you will pray that God will not bring something your way. In Acts chapter 9, I think it is, when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was blinded by the Lord and was locked up in a place, the Lord Jesus went to Ananias and called Ananias and said, there is somebody in such and such address, Saul of Tarsus. He is doing what? He's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming to lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. You cannot pray for something and then God will send help to another person who is not praying. That's not the God we're talking about. He desires to give good things and he will give it to all those who do what? Who ask, who pray. We must never see prayer as an alternative or as an option. Prayer is a bare necessity, is an essential if you're a Christian. Because there are things that happen in our lives. It is prayer. We must cultivate the habit of praying for everything. Praying at every turn. We must become a people of prayer. We must become a people who can say that this job came because I asked for it. Let me give you another example. What's her name now? Samuel's mother. Hannah. You know, there was Peninnah and there was Hannah. Did Peninnah pray before she got children? She got her children. Then Hannah prayed. What is the meaning of Samuel? I asked this child from that. That was the testimony. Others may be getting things when they don't pray, because out of the goodness of God, they get some things. That there's something that, did you hear of any of Peninnah's children? Did they name them? But the one, even the children that were born after Samuel, did they name any one of them? But that one was named in the Bible because it was asked of the Lord. There is a job that you get that you don't ask for. There's a job that you get that you ask for. Let me ask you, which one do you cherish the most? The one that came freely or the one that you asked for? The one that you asked for. You will cherish it, you will honor it. There are things that we get because God is our Father. But there are some things that you're not going to get unless you ask for it. And that is because God wants you to place a premium on that thing. He wants you to value that thing is important. That's when he will release it. Another reason why we need to pray so that those things can come is because when that thing is of tremendous value to you, the devil knows and he seeks to stop it from getting to you. It is your praying that gets the devil out of the way and releases the thing. The Bible tells us, we know the story in Daniel. When Daniel was praying for 21 days, and an angel came to him on the 21st day and said, Daniel, greatly beloved of the Lord, from the first day, from when? The first day that you set your face to seek the face of the Lord, the answer was sent. Then the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days. I was there. Did Daniel stop praying? Thank God he kept at it. Thank God he kept at it. Thank God he kept at it. I wonder how many things God is sending to us that never get to us because we stopped. Honestly speaking, I wonder many blessings. I'm not talking of mundane things. I mean serious blessings, spiritual blessings. Many of us have asked God for the Holy Spirit, for the power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God, to do the work of ministry. But because we don't see it, we give up. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 tells us that God, the Lord Jesus told the parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to give up. Keep praying. Keep asking.
Keep seeking. Keep knocking until the guarantee that God has given you, you see it.
Praise the name of the Lord.
There are times,
and you know, I find this as a very common thing amongst us Christians.
When we pray and God answers us, because the answer is not what we expect,
we continue to pray.
There is a limit to your keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking. If you ask God, remember, you must know, that's why we did the backgrounds of who God is and the good things that God desires to give to us. We noted that God is not going to give us anything back. Let's assume, you see, I don't know if you know what a coral snake is. A coral snake is a very beautiful snake. It's usually found in the coral reefs. Multicolored, beautiful snake, but is one of the deadliest snakes in the world. Its bite can kill a man in seconds. That's a coral snake. If you ask for a coral snake, do you think God will give it to you? He won't. So, in our asking, let's even assume somebody says, I don't know the will of God for this thing, and you, okay, I'm dead, I'm going to ask for it. You should expect God to speak to you. Do you understand that? We can't be praying and not expect an answer. We can't be praying and not expect an answer. Number one, we don't serve a God that is deaf or dumb or impotent. We serve a living God, a God that is alive, a God that hears, a God that listens, a God that desires to speak to his children. So every time you ask God, you should expect to hear from God. And that is one thing that we see in Christendom as a problem. I've seen people say, have you talked to God? I've prayed, I've not heard God anything from God, but I'm tired. You don't give up until you hear. Because it means that you don't even know anything, so you keep asking until you hear what God has to say.
2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 7 to verse 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. That it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul was facing a challenge. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was, but it was definitely a cause for concern for Paul. And Paul began to pray. I'm sure that at the beginning, you know that what he wrote here only came because God told him. But when that thorn first started, he didn't know what it was. And he kept praying and kept seeking the face of God. He wasn't going to, I don't know what it was. He didn't have cause to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Or whatever, he just saw that this is something that is happening. It's a thorn in me. And it's not supposed to be. I'm a child of the living God. I've preached this gospel. And as he was praying, God would have told him, leave that thing there. I sent that messenger myself. Because of what I have done in your life, you are going to develop pride. This thing has come so that you will always remember that you are a human being. You are not, so that you don't become proud and miss eternity. I'm going to leave the thorn there, but my grace is also. Hold on to my grace, and very soon, the thorn. So the thorn was playing a role. What was that thorn playing a role? What was the role of the thorn now? To keep him humble, and to always direct Paul to the grace of God. So the fact that you are asking for something which you consider good, does not necessarily mean that God will grant it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know that thorn, actually that thorn was removed from Paul, in the human sense. It would actually help Paul to do the work of ministry better. Is that not so? But in the eye of God, removing that thorn meant Paul would be proud, would become arrogant, and he will never fulfill that ministry. So there is with God a balance. The thorn, as far as God is concerned, was what now? A good thing. Do you understand? That thorn was a good, because that thorn was to bring Paul to him. So we must understand some of these things. Sometimes our definition of what is good is not necessarily God's definition of what is good. Remember the Lord Jesus when he was going to go. He said, it is necessary for me, or expedient, it is good for me to go. As far as the disciples were concerned, is it good for him to go? But he said, it's good for me to go. That if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. If I don't go, you will continue to be like babies. You will continue to depend on me. So it is necessary for me to go. I need to go. And when I have gone, I'm going to pray the Father. He will send the Spirit, another comforter, who will remain with you
Not only will he remain with you, he will now be inside of you. So anywhere you are going to, he will tell you things. He will guide you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will preserve you. He will direct the course of your movement. He will lead you as he ought to lead you. But they were sorrowful because he was good. And it was good for them that he goes so that the Holy Spirit can come. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to know today that when you are asking God for something and you get a different result or a different answer from what you expect, know that the answer that God has given you is a good thing. Do you understand that? That is the good thing that God has for you. What you were expecting in your own eye is good, right? But it is not good as far as God is concerned. The Bible says, I think it's in Proverbs 25 or so, it says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Only God knows what is good for you. Remember, some weeks ago, we mentioned the fact that God made us, right? And he knows what is good for each and every one of us. The way God will answer the same prayer all of us pray for each individual will be different. Let's assume, for example, that we are all praying for jobs. There are some people who will get a job in an oil company. Some people will get a job in the civil service. Some people will not get jobs at all. Instead, they will become employers of labor themselves, but they will have to go through the grind of starting a business. The same prayer, he will answer in different ways. We must know that. They brought a blind man to Jesus once, and they said to him that they wanted him to lay hands on him so that the man's eyes can open. The Lord Jesus took the man out. He didn't lay hands on him. He made, he made one touch the man's eyes and said, he should open his eyes. The man opened his eyes. He didn't say, go home. Because that man had no faith. He touched his eyes and said, open your eyes. The man opened and said, please, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees walking. Mm-mm. Come, let me touch you again. Touched him a second and said, what do you say? Oh, I see clearly. And I said, man, fine, go. When blind Bartimaeus came and threw his old rag and went to meet with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, the first time I read, I said, why is God asking this kind of question? Number one, you are God. Number two, you should know. The man is blind. I said, no, what do you want me to do for you? He said, that I may see. I said, okay, your faith has made you whole. Because if he threw his old cloth away, maybe he wanted a new cloth. It's possible. I know that these things are subject to, I know some people who have told me that when I pray to God, I made a list of who I want to marry. And that is the person that God gave me. You are lying. You don't even know who your husband should be or who your wife should be. You don't know who qualifies. If we ask ourselves to make a list of what we want now, the lust in us will kick in. For example, some of us will just say, let's say we should say, okay, let's ask God for money. Somebody might ask for 100 million. Another person asks for 1 billion. Another person asks for 1 trillion. You see, those prayer requests, you are going to destroy your economy. Because when you have that kind of money in your system, inflation will be shooting up. You where others are struggling to buy something, you just come and say, how much? No, I want to pay you more because I want to close down. Yes, are you helping anybody there? It's just your loss. So don't expect God to answer you the way you think he will answer. But know one thing for sure, God will answer. So what you are interested in is the answer of God, not your own expectation. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This is the Lord Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 39, 42, and 44. Matthew 26, 39, 42, and 44. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you. Now, this prayer that the Lord Jesus was praying, is it that he didn't understand what he was going to, what he was going to do? Did he not understand what he was going to do? I'm asking now. He knew. But you see, there is nobody who is going to face death. As long as blood is flowing through your veins, there are going to be some concerns, especially when you know the torture that you're going to go through. And so he was asking, perhaps there's another way. And as long as there's no other way, let's do it your way. Verse 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Verse 44. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. How many times did the Lord pray? How many times did he pray here? 3 solid times. Asking the same thing. Asking the same thing. Now, I want to read this same story in Luke's Gospel 22. And we will see something that Matthew does not tell us. Because I want you to understand one thing. Every time you pray, please know that God is listening. Except there is sin in your life. I and you need to deal with that.
But every time you pray, even when they are still in your life, you will hear God say to you, have you confessed that sin? Of his mercy, you go, have you confessed? Go and confess that sin. Then come and talk to me. And that's what you should do.
You've heard the Lord Jesus say, if you take your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has ought against you, leave it. What makes you to remember that your brother has ought against you? It is God that brings the remembrance to that. You offended somebody yesterday. Go and make it right. Then come.
So remember that every time you are praying, don't just talk, or as if your prayer is just one thing that is soliloquizing, speaking to yourself. You talk. Oh, when you are tired of speaking, you stop. You go away. You say, I prayed. The question I ask is, what did God say to you?
You need to have an answer. Do you understand? You need to have an answer. You come to me. You've discussed your issue. I say, okay, I've heard. You don't say anything. You come.
You need to know that I have heard you. Do you understand? You need to know that I heard you correctly. And that I say, okay, don't worry. I will look into the matter.
Then you go away. If after 1 or 2 weeks, it appears that I'm not looking into the matter, you come back a second time, sir, that discussion we had, I'm looking into it.
So, okay.
Maybe 2-3 weeks later, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. You come back again. Then I can say to you, look, I have told you I'm looking into it. And you will see the result. Right now, there are some things I am doing that you can't see. Go and relax. You will soon smile. What does that do for you now? Confidence that indeed he is listening. So you must. Otherwise, we will have no confidence in God or in prayer. Some people don't believe that prayer works. They say, well, I know that God hears this man's prayer, but God doesn't hear my prayer. Because they never sat down to the point where they waited. When I understood the value of praying and hearing from God, I actually did it literally. Went into my prayer chamber. After praying, I kept quiet. I said, Lord, I'm waiting to hear from you. I'm not going anywhere. I want to hear. I sat down there. After a while, I opened the Bible to read. In the process of Bible reading, I started hearing God. So you must make it a practice. It's a practice. You shouldn't walk away from a place when you didn't hear from God. Let's say we pray. We close church. Because of time, we've closed church. But you have not heard from God. What do you do when you get home? You continue. Lord, because of the closing of church, you know, we didn't finish our conversation. And then I need to travel from here to my house. Talk to God like a father. Don't talk to God as if you don't know him. Talk to him like you know him. It's a simple conversation. We didn't finish that conversation in church, God. So let us continue here. That matter I was discussing with you is very critical to me. And I need to hear from you. And then you continue to talk. Sometimes you talk and then maybe if you are hungry, you want to eat. You bring the food. What stops you from, Father, thank you for this food that you have brought to me. Please don't forget that discussion that we had.
Yes, I'm waiting for an answer. Are you not waiting for an answer? I'm waiting for an answer.
Luke chapter 22:41-44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He didn't bleed. It was sweat. It was just that it was thick sweat, like drops of blood. That's all. But I want you to know that when he was praying, an angel came to him to strengthen him. That was the same thing that God did with Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. The challenge that you are talking to God about has not gone away. But God has sent comfort to you. So much so that even though the problem is still there, even though the challenge is still there, there is a peace in your heart. There is a calmness about everything. And you can be focused on what you should be focused on, even though that problem is there. You are not running helter-skelter. You are not going unabated. You are not just running as you want to run. There is now a purpose to everything you are doing. Because you know this thing has been taken care of. Praise the name of the Lord. If you have a stinking dustbin in your compound and you call the dustbin people to come and take it away, and they come and empty the dustbin and leave the ordinary bin there, what should you do? Should you follow the dustbin to see where they are going to empty it, the dustbin people? How does that concern you? They've taken the thing away. Is that not so?
And then go and continue to do what you are doing. That is how it is. When God sends help, the problem may still be there, but it is no longer a bother to you so that you can focus on something else. I want us to get to the place where when we ask for something and we receive an answer, we can with confidence move forward. Praise the name of the Lord. So if you ask aright,
let's look at James 4 again. Because this was how we started this series. Asking aright. James 4:3. We've read that. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. So now I want to go forward. You ask and do not receive because you ask how? Amiss.
that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Now, we have determined that you are not asking amiss. You are asking aright. So you have asked aright. What should you do next?
Wait.
Wait. That is, you have asked aright. God has given you an answer. What do you do next?
Wait.
That is the most difficult part for many of us. Waiting. And waiting by itself is something that requires a lot from us. As you are waiting, stand upon the answer, the word that God gave to you. You must stand upon that word. That is what you are holding on to. Let's say, for example, you ask for a child and God says it is done. Then you wait. Is that not all you do? You have to wait. Some people pray for a child and God says, you have a child already. I've given you a child. The next month, they see their menstrual flow. They are discouraged. Who told you that the stoppage of a woman's menstrual flow equates to pregnancy? I know many people who don't have menstruation normally and they are not pregnant. And I know people who have been menstruating up to 5 months and they are pregnant. So don't use your own yardstick to measure this thing. Wait upon God. That's all. And wait, hold on to His word. That's what you need. Praise the name of the Lord. And it shall surely come to pass. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Hebrews 10 36. For you have need of endurance, perseverance, or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. This is where for many of us, we fail, we falter, we have asked. We know what God has said. But patience to wait is the problem. And because we cannot wait, what happens now? We seek an alternative, which is a mark that we don't know, or we don't have faith in God. But wait. You just wait. And know one thing for sure. It will surely come to pass. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11, I think it is. Let's see. Let's be sure that it's from there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11, the A part of it. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's a time, there's a season for everything. And everything that comes in its own time is what? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful. In the time allotted. When Isaac came to Sarah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing when Isaac came. Even though there were long years of waiting for Isaac to come. But it was beautiful. By the time what God has promised you comes, it will be beautiful. Praise the name of the Lord. Every meal that is prepared, especially the meal that takes time, always turns out to be very, very beautiful. So I want to leave us with this conclusion. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Please read the NLT for me of that. It's the NLT that we want to use as something to grab onto. Something that you should always remember henceforth. 6, just verse 6. Don't worry about, pray about, don't worry about, pray about, don't worry about, pray about. The reason why I'm more or less reciting it is for you to remember. Anytime there is something of anxiety, something that is troubling you, a problem that doesn't seem to have a solution, instead of bothering yourself, what should you do? What should you do? What should you do? What should you do? If it's little, what should you do? If it's big, what should you do? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. That is the place that we all ought to be. We ought to keep asking. We ought to keep knocking. We ought to keep seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Until you get an answer from the Lord. And like I told you, it may not be what you want to hear or desire. But it will certainly be a good thing. It will be a good gift. It will be a perfect gift. It will be a wholesome gift. It will be the best gift that you can ever have. You are limited in your own understanding. God is limitless. And so whatever God gives you, you may be looking at something that you want for now. God will be giving you something that will last up to eternity. I remember when I was trusting God for a job. Because when I got born again, I didn't have a job. So one of the first things that I did after salvation was to seek God's help for a job.
And then a friend of mine called me and said, I should come and do, what's it called now? I should come and do a feasibility study, a study for him in his office to improve performance. Computer, he had a computer company. Computers were just beginning to stroll into Nigeria. That was in the 90s. So I went to his office and we discussed and I said, well, to do this study, I'm going to take, I think I said something like 60,000. That was a lot of money in 1991. That was a whole load of money. So he said he can't pay that for that. He's just going to pay how much, whether 6 or 16,000. I can't remember. It was one ridiculous amount compared to what I was asking. So I got angry and left. Then I went to a friend of mine who is born again. This fellow was a Muslim. The one who was going to give me a job was a Muslim. This other fellow was a believer. So I went to him and said, can you imagine? I went to our friend though. He said I should come and do something. I went to him. And then he now told me that he can't pay me more than this. Meanwhile, what I'm asking for is this. The Christian brother told me, he said, don't mind him. He's a user. So of course, what was he saying to me? Don't go and take the job. But as I turned, thank God I was hearing from God when I was a believer. When I was a young believer. Like I hear now, if I better. As I turned, I heard God say to me there and then, go and do the job. I had just received counsel from a standing Christian. And I turned and God said, go and do the job. So I went back to him. I said, okay, let me come and do it. He said, how much? I said, whatever you want to pay, I'll do it. Whatever I want to pay, I'll do it. So he said, by the way, why were you charging me so much? I said, because the report I have to take to a business center so that they can do word processing, they can do the type it out and do everything and then bind it for me. He said, Harry, this is a computer company now. Take any computer you want to take it to your house. Do the word processing, do the typing, do everything. Bring the report. Honestly speaking, I couldn't tell him, but the truth was, I didn't know how to use a computer. Computers were just coming in. So when he said that, out of shame, I couldn't say to him that I don't know how to use a computer. So I went to his office. My part of the study was to study what they were doing and to improve their progress. I said, okay, please tell me, what is your job? He said, well, I'm the accountant. He said, so run your day by me. I said, no, do it practically. So he went to the computer, turned it. He didn't know I was looking at how to turn on the computer. Not like now that you have Windows. In those days, it was DOS. So you had to know the prompts, how to start, C prompt. You have to do CLS to close it. So many things. So I was watching how they were doing it. When they finished showing me how they were doing it, I went to my own desk, grabbed the computer, switched it on. The way I saw them do it, I was not practicing. That was how I learned to use a computer. It was when I finished that job that I understood what God did for me. Today I see people going to pay a huge amount of money to learn how to do word processing, how to learn this out. I was paid to learn how to use a computer. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? You may be thinking that this is what you want. God knows what He wants for you. Eventually, in the church I was at the time, when they now needed an administrator, somebody could say to them that, get ready, he's good with computers. I didn't know that God was preparing me for that time. I was thinking of what to eat for now. God was thinking of his kingdom in the future. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me close with this scripture. Well, I may close, I may not close. So let's see as it goes. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to point something to us. From verse 7 to verse 8. Jeremiah 17, from verse 5 to verse 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Have you noticed? I want you to know that. A man who does not trust God cannot see when good is coming, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. When you trust God in prayer, God brings good things. But if you don't trust God and you pray, even when the good thing is coming, you won't know that it's a good thing. That job that my friend was giving me was a good thing from God. I didn't realize it. Until God said to me, go and do it. And until years later, I didn't realize it immediately. It was years later that I realized that this is what God was doing. In the same way, you may not know what God is doing, the good thing that God is doing for you. But if your trust is in God, like God told me, go and do it. If I had trusted in the words of a man, I wouldn't have gone to do it. But I went to do it.
I heard the story of a young man who was looking for a job, a graduate for that matter.
And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and God told him, I'm sending you to a place. Go there. Whatever job they give you, go and take it. He went to the civil service place. He went there. It was a clerical job they gave him. But he trusted God, because God said, whatever job they give you, do it. And he did it. And he was there sitting down. Every day he would come from work, come from his house and go and do it there. One day a man strolled into that office and wanted help. And the other clerks, who were clerks by nature, were doing whatever they wanted to do. And this boy went to the man and asked him, sir, can I help you? What do you want me to do for you? And the man said, oh, I need this. And the boy went and did it and brought everything back to the man. So the man asked the boy, you look different from these people. The boy said, yes, I'm a graduate. But because I can't find a job to do, that's why I am here. That man gave him a card and said, see me tomorrow. He went to see that man the following day with that man's card. And he got a job from that man that paid him 10 times more than he was earning in that clerk's place. But let me ask you a question. Could he have met that man if he wasn't at that desk? It was his trusting God that made him to go and take that job. And then God moved him to something better. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want you to understand that whatever God's answer is, it is good, it is perfect, and it is the best for you. Praise the name of the Lord. Then you must also understand that after you have prayed, there is always the sovereignty of God. And what does that mean? That God does as He pleases. And like I said, whatever it is that God is doing as He pleases, it is a good thing. Because God is love. God is merciful, and God is a God of justice. Note that. Sometimes, I remember a friend of mine in ministry. I asked him for his in-law, one of his brother's in-law who happened to be a twin. I said, now, where is this other fellow? He said, Daddy, let me tell you something. That when we are praying for people, we don't know why God is not answering. He said, look at this fellow that didn't have a job. When he didn't have a job, he was in the church, playing keyboard, and serving God fervently. He said then, through prayers and everything, he got a job. He said, now on Sundays, he is working in the house. And to make matters worse, one silly girl in the choir will come to him on Sunday, and they say they are working in the house. When God does not give you what you are asking for, know that God knows what He is doing. Do you understand that? He knows why you are not getting what you are getting. Do you know that some of us, if we had the kind of car that we really want, maybe we'll be dead by now. Because we're not sitting in one place. We'll be driving all over town, posing everywhere, until we'll run under a trailer where we're busy looking at the girl. Who we're honking so that she can notice us in that car. When I've told you that, I think I've said this before, that when God gives you a jalopy that keeps going to the mechanics, maybe He wants you to go and minister salvation until you pray for the salvation of that mechanic. Ima, are you hearing? You will continue to carry this chip to Rashid until you go and win the soul. When you have won the soul, that day that car will be ready. So understand that. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a reason. We must begin to understand that for God, the kingdom is the primary thing. And it is that kingdom that is important. You are praying for a life partner. God will, the woman or man that God will bring is the one that will take you to heaven. Let me share my wife's testimony. I didn't know that she was going to be my wife. One day she was talking to God, and God told her that, I have two children that you can marry. You can choose any one of the two. They are okay because they are my children. But there's only one of them that you will marry that will bring you to heaven. If you marry this other one, we are not sure you are getting there. If you marry this one, you are likely to get. And that's the one she has married. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, but the one that she was told to marry as at the time was a, what do you call them now? How do they describe us? We were trekking, no money, no job, had shoes with holes, had three trousers, three shirts. I mean, that was it. So you can tell the combination anytime what I have. And I did, because belt was a luxury, I had to sew the trousers in such a way that they don't need belt. They just have this side. I'm the one who designed the trouser for the tailor. They had this side strapping to hold, so that if I fast, the strap increases. When the fast is not, the strap releases, so that the trouser stays. They had strange colors. One was maroon. The other one was greenish blue. And the last one was gray, faded gray. They didn't require belt. And I wore it until I got married. That's why I knew that the only person who could marry me is the person that God said marry. Any other person can marry me. But the story has changed. Praise the name of the Lord.
Some of you will not marry the person you ought to marry if your position has changed now. You will marry the wrong person. So sometimes God leaves you where you are so that you can marry the right person. There are many, many stories I could have told, but I want you to remember one thing. Whenever you are asking God, always have at the back of your mind the sovereignty of God. God knows what is best for you. He does as he pleases. He can give somebody something and not give it to you. It doesn't mean he hates you. It just means that that thing he has given to that person, it will destroy you. It may be good for that fellow, but it is not good for you. Praise the name of the Lord. What I want us to do at this point in time is to just bow our heads and talk to the Lord. First and foremost, I want you also to thank him for this series of praying that we've had. We've spent months talking about this. So I want you to thank the Lord for praying the messages we've had under this service. Just talk to him. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you have told us. Thank you for all that you have spoken and are hearing. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with these messages. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you for bringing us to the place where we understand what it means to pray and how we are to pray. How we are to pray aright and how many of us have been praying amiss. Thank you for bringing us to the place where we recognize and understand your guarantees that if we ask, we will receive. That if we seek, we will find. That if we knock, to be open unto us. And that you desire to give us and that you will give us good things if we ask you for them. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that denial does not mean that you hate us. It's just that it's not what you want for us. Help us, Almighty and Everlasting God, to begin to attune ourselves to your will, your desire for our lives. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Father, help me. Help me. Help me to attune myself, to tune myself to desiring your will for my life. In every circumstance, in every area. So I pray, and I want you to understand that the will of God is sacrosanct. And how it applies to each individual is equally sacrosanct. The global will doesn't change. Likewise, his will for each individual. Because each individual is working together towards that global objective. Talk to the Lord and say, Father, help me. Help me to submit to your will in every circumstance. Let my desire not be so strong that it overwhelms. It is stronger than your own desire to give me that thing. Let me not have a craving, a strong desire, a lust for something. Rather, let my desire, let my passion be for the things of God. Let it be for your kingdom. Let it be towards you. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord, brethren. Talk to the Lord. At this time, if there's something you want to ask God, this is the time to ask. Maybe it's one item, maybe there are two items or three. Just keep asking. Keep on asking. Remember, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. At this time, talk to the Lord for yourself. What is it that you are trusting God for? What is it that you want him to do for you? Just remember, you should hear from him. Also remember, whatever it is that he does is good. It's perfect. It's the best for you because he has you at the back of his mind. He has you in mind. The timing that God has for you is right. Others may be getting those same things now. God will give you your own at the right time. If your challenge has been patience, then talk to God and say, Lord, give me this gift of patience. To patiently wait for you. Patiently wait for you. If you're not able to hear from God, this is time to talk to God and say, Lord, I want to be hearing from you. These are the things I'm asking you to ask for. I want to be able to hear from you every time, Lord. So that I will not be praying amiss. I will not be praying empty prayers. My prayer will be meaningful. My prayer will be focused. If you are having challenges, believing God is something to pray about. Father, I'm having challenges believing you. Sometimes I believe you, sometimes I don't believe you. Help me to believe you throughout. I want to believe you. I want consistency in my faith in you. Or maybe sometimes you feel that you are not born again. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, sometimes it seems like I just feel like I'm not saved. I need the assurance of salvation. I want to know that I 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 am saved. So that the enemy will not cheat me. Maybe it is temptation that you are succumbing to. Talk to the Lord and say, Lord, this thing I always fall. I don't want to fall again. Let it be a thing of the past in my life. Sin shall not have dominion over me. Evil cannot have dominion over me. The devil cannot have dominion over me. You are my God. You are my King. You are my salvation. Give me a way out of all these temptations when they come. Give me a way out. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Maybe it's some challenge in your office. And you talk and say, Lord, your will be done. I don't know what they are saying, but Lord, your will be done. I submit to whatever you do. The hearts of men, kings and princes, they're in your hands. You turn it as you will. Do your will for me in my place of work. Do your will for me. Maybe it's your home. Talk to the Lord about your home. Whatever is uppermost in your mind right now, whatever your concerns are, speak to the Almighty God. He's here listening. Talk to him. Oh Lord, these are my challenges. Lord, these are my needs. These are issues that I've always wanted to trash. I didn't know that you were concerned about those things.
But now I've heard
that I should worry about nothing, but I should pray about everything.
So Lord, I'm praying about everything.
That's right, that God burnt the other day. Why did he get burnt?
I almost burnt the house.
Talk to God about it.
You'll be shocked. He's interested equally.
I want to tell you, help you on how to run your life daily.
That's the Spirit of God for you. He
wants to help you
every step of the way.
Talk to the Lord.
Talk to the Lord, brethren.
Remember, he's your Father.
He's your Father.
Except you're not born again.
If you're not born again and you're here,
and then maybe you want to come,
let's pray together.
I'll explain one or two things to you and then we'll pray together.
And then you can now go and pray as others should pray.
But if you're already born again, then
that you are a child of God. Talk to him as your Father.
Talk to him as your Father.
A loving Father.
A caring Father.
A concerned Father.
One who desires to meet you at the point of need.
Whose desire to bless you is more than your desire to receive the blessing.
Talk to the Lord.
Good things have been prepared for you, but you ought to keep asking until they come, or until you get an assurance, an assuring answer from the Lord that you already have it.
Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Oh, Father, help us. Today, Lord, as we ask, not just in this auditorium, but as we ask continually, help us to seek to hear you. Help us to receive the answers and to stand firmly on your word.
Help us, Almighty and Everlasting God,
to wait patiently for you
when it is necessary, when it is required of you.
Help us, Almighty and Everlasting God. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.